When you wish upon a star.
President George W. Bush, you've just left office after 8 years with one of the lowest approval numbers in history. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to Six Flags over Disney Park.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio. Your real talk stage, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
Looking to feed your family on something you can scrape right off the highway? Then try Raccoon. Bet you didn't know these cute, curious creatures make good eats. And it's so easy to prepare. Just soak the carcass overnight in a 5-gallon bucket filled with salt and vinegar, then parboil for at least 2 hours, then slow cook to perfection. Whether it's Coon a l'Orange or Coon Cutlet Parmesan, you soon discover that varmint vittles is the other dark meat. Raccoon. Unfortunately, in this economy, it's what's for dinner.
A child raised by wolves is released back into the wild. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Only weeks after taking in a feral child, the Chandler family of northern Minnesota now reluctantly admits they have little choice but to turn him loose in the woods where they found him. Janet Chandler points to the unruly child's loud grunting and random defecating as the primary reason for his abandonment. She says the family simply found him really annoying.
Maybe the wolves will take him back. Maybe they won't. I really don't care.
The Chandlers carefully took an extremely complicated route home to throw off their scent and prevent the boy from tracking them back to the house. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator. You bought it on sale in July and couldn't wait to fire that bad boy up at the first sight of a few flakes. It's a Sears Super Snow Blaster, the Corvette of snowblowers.
You really wish you got the car.
You, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, believe in absolute power and the absolute right to wake the neighbors at 6 a.m. to the sounds of thunderous snow throwing.
Give me something to throw.
Oh, would somebody please put sugar in his gas tank?
That would be pretty sweet, yeah.
So the next time you want to sleep in, only to be shaken by the sounds of snow-covered sidewalk power sculpting, open a window and extend a single-finger salute to Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, a real American hero.
Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
Great, this guy just got a riding lawnmower for Christmas.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to January 20th, Inauguration Day.
Happy Inauguration Day.
Celebration for America. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it bright in here for you? Because you've got some big-ass sunglasses on.
It's a little bright out today.
Not really.
No. Yes, it is.
For you, it is.
I hate sunlight when I wake up in the morning. I'm like, no.
Yeah. What have you been doing? Back to the partying and everything?
Maybe.
You didn't make up for the jet lag yet, have you?
Maybe. Well, that's how I've got to get back into my normal routine.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to pick up right where you left off. Drinking and smoking and doing the same old shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you partied hard?
I'm slightly overhung today.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I wanted to make a comment about one of the little clips you played before. Uh-huh. So did you ever see the Seinfeld where Elaine says, "Your dingo ate my baby"? Have you ever seen that?
No.
So I don't know why, but my friend Heather and I, when we were in Australia, we decided that was really funny. Uh-huh. And so we would run around like saying that to people. We're like, "Your dingo ate my baby." And we had no idea what it actually meant. Uh-huh. But so I said it to Daniel and I was like, "Your dingo ate my baby." Uh-huh. And he's like, "Oh God, she won't stop saying these things." And then he's like, "Do you even know what that means?" Uh-huh. And I was like, "No, but it's really funny." And he's like, "How can you think it's funny if you don't know what it means?" And apparently in Australia, there was a pack of wild dogs, which are known as dingoes.
Oh.
And they actually did, like a woman lost her baby and she reported it to the police.
Uh-huh.
The police ended up arresting her and like putting her in jail for like, you know, murdering or like abducting her own child and like claiming it was lost. when really it was found by like living with a pack of dingoes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was like all over the news. It was like this whole big thing. And that's why when Elaine says that, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It does sound funny.
It just sounds funny in general when you say dingo, eh, and then your dingo ate my baby.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that supposed to mean?
Yeah. And with that accent you were putting on.
Your dingo ate my baby. But, yeah, so the pack of wolves adopting that other baby was kind of funny and reminded me of that.
Yeah. So are you still missing Australia?
I am. Yeah. It's interesting being back in the swing of things.
Yeah, huh?
I know.
You know, I got to salute you for coming in. I mean, you look good on the outside, but I can tell you're a wreck on the outside. And you still made it, you know? I mean,
thanks,
that's amazing.
Sam.
That's amazing.
Actually, I will say I was laying in bed today, and then I managed to crawl out of bed, and I was like, I want to call and cancel the show today. And then I got in the shower, and then I couldn't even stand up in the shower. So I laid down in the shower and just had the water like beat down on my face, and I'm like, oh, this will have to do. Oh, man.
Wow.
So it started all last night because I had to go to work.
Yeah.
And I get to work at 5, and then they're like, Nanny, you want a cocktail? Mm-hmm. I was like, it is 5 o'clock.
Yes.
You know, it's approximately cocktail hour. So then I started drinking Bacardi and Cokes with the family. Uh-huh. Because the mom... What?
What kind of a family gets her fucking nanny drunk when she's supposed to take care of the kids?
I can take care of the kids drunk.
Yeah, I'm sure. You can do anything drunk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a secluded house. I'm not, like, driving them anywhere.
Yeah.
And I had the father...
You're a flaming fucking alcoholic, okay? That's exactly what you are, because you're functioning on it.
I prefer Lush.
Okay. Okay, well...
Alcoholic is such a dirty word.
Okay, Lush.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
But so we start drinking Bacardi and Cokes at 5, and that goes until about 9, and then it's bath time. Ooh. And so then bath time means it's wine time, so I switch over to wine.
Do you take the wine bottle in the bathroom with you?
Just my glass.
I see.
Yes, make sure.
Excuse me.
Actually, it was really...
God forbid you take a break while you're bathing them.
Shut up. Oh, man. But no, it was really funny last night because the father and his friend were over at the house watching the Laker game. And so I had to babysit the baby, the 2-year-old, and the father and his friend.
Yeah.
And the 3 dogs. So I was on like double duty last night.
Oh. So you needed a drink or 2?
Of course.
Or 10.
Or 10. No, but this was just funny because at one point, Skylar, the little boy, he was chasing me around the room and like I'm running kind of in front of the TV.
Uh-huh.
And he's like screaming and I'm screaming and I'm running and running and running and running. And then at one point, like I run and I like dip down and I grab my drink, get a big swig and keep running and running and running. And then the father was like, nice, nanny, nice. He was like, that was beautiful. As I'm like picking up bottles from the ground and like dumping them in the sink at the same time while I'm playing and drinking and cleaning. I'm telling you, I've got it down.
Did you miss doing that while you were gone? No.
Well, I was kind of... I did miss the kids a lot.
You did?
I did miss the kids.
Uh-huh.
They're so much fun. There's something just so refreshing about playing with, like, children.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just say the funniest things. And then little Skylar, I walk in the door. I haven't seen him in a month. Mm-hmm. He's like, Susie! And he just comes rushing up to me with this big hug.
Oh, how
and
nice.
A big kiss. And I'm like, oh, baby. Yeah. And then the little one grew so much. Oh, my gosh. You're away for a month. And a baby all of a sudden is like... a 10-pound sack of potatoes. We were like, Jesus, what have you been feeding this kid? But, yeah, so, I don't know, it was a good day.
Cool.
Good night.
Right.
And then it was Craft Club after that,
because
mm-hmm. it's Monday.
Right.
And I have to go to Craft Club.
You do?
Yes.
With the kids?
No.
Oh.
With my bicycle gang.
Okay.
So I went over there, and I ran into the Franz, and haven't seen him since... before I left.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Right.
He's there with his new girlfriend.
Yeah?
Yes.
And
yes.
How did that make you feel?
Fine. I actually, she's so sweet. She's such a nice girl. And you know what I mean? Everyone deserves to be happy and they seem to be really happy.
Yeah. But what does that mean? How did you feel about it? Did it feel weird?
No. It actually felt, I mean, when I started walking in, I was kind of like, okay. You know, this might be a little bit weird. And I think she was feeling the same way. But, you know, as soon as I get in there and I gave them both a big hug and, you know, everything was cool. And there were about, like, 40 other people there, you know, drinking and getting stoned and doing crafts, arts and crafts, working on their bicycles. So all in all, it was pretty fun. But I continued to drink a cask of wine there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a cask of wine is here?
No, but it sounds like a lot.
It's actually not as big as a box.
Oh, it's smaller than a box?
It's slightly smaller than a box of wine.
Okay.
But I got into
what
those.
What does it come in? Not a box?
No, it comes in a box.
It is a box, but it's not a smaller box.
It's a smaller box.
A smaller box, okay.
Did I tell you, on Sunday when I got home, I go to the store and I buy a pregnancy test, a cask of wine, and a pack of cigarettes? The guy at the checkout counter was like,
What a combo.
Well, it's like if the pregnancy test is negative, I'm going to drink the wine.
Yeah. And if it's positive, you'll drink it too.
If it's positive, I would have had one glass, which is like allowed per pregnant woman per day.
Yeah. I'm sure you always find a reason to drink. I mean, you know.
No,
whether it's a
darling.
Good day, a bad day, whatever, there's always an excuse to drink.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That there is.
Yeah. But that's okay. Live it up now, you know. Because your body won't be able to take it when you get older, I can tell you that.
Oh, my God. It's already, like, becoming harder now and like nowadays to recover.
Yeah.
My recovery time is not what it used to be.
Yeah, but you've got to admit, you drink a lot.
Yes.
You drink a lot.
Are we back on this again?
Well, I mean, you brought it up, not me. Okay? Well, anyway, look, it's inauguration day, okay?
It's a reason to have a drink.
There you go.
Is my bottle of wine in the fridge?
Yeah, it probably still is.
Good. Keep it there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Susie has a bottle of wine here for an emergency.
My emergency stash. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I'm trying to talk about the fucking inauguration here, Susie.
What inauguration? Okay.
We're probably the only ones in the world who are not watching it right now.
I know.
But I would imagine, I mean, we know what's going to happen. I mean, he's going to put his hand on the Bible that Lincoln did. And they're going to swear him in, blah, blah, blah. And we've got a new president. So I think it's time to celebrate big time. And they say like 3 million people are converging on D.C.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
And why would you fucking go, you know? I mean, that's a lot of fucking people. Sit at home, you'll get the best view.
I know.
You know?
And you'll have your like little koozie with your beer like right in your hand.
Yeah.
They probably don't let you drink in public there.
I know.
That's such a shame.
Yeah. But you know what it's really heartening to me is seeing so many black folk like really, really.
Why has it got to be about color?
No, because they're. No, I mean, to them it means a lot.
Yes.
Okay? And you can understand why. So, you know, I mean, you can't ignore the fact that this is the first black president ever. And, you know, for a people that have felt like a minority and all that, that they're not being heard or integrated into society, I think now this is a new day for them, you know.
Absolutely.
New dawn. And I think it is historical, you know. So some people want to go there and just be part of it. And, you know, I really hope that it's going to change things in this country a little bit. Because I can tell you this for a fact. When I talk to people, when I interact with people and stuff, I never really see their color. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, to me, it's like it doesn't really matter. I don't see that. But there's still a lot going on, and it's going to take a long time to get rid of it. But I think today is the first day towards that goal. You know?
Can you imagine if we had a Jewish president?
Yeah, that would be hard. That would be hard.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
No, I don't think so. With the sentiment I'm seeing in this country against Israel right now, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
I know,
yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So that must mean the people hate Jews more than they hate blacks.
I think so.
Right?
And it's nice that that it's happening today after Martin Luther King Day yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect.
I know.
The way it happened.
I know.
Yeah.
The timing's amazing.
I know. So congratulations to all the people. I mean, I'm happy. I think everybody is, and that's because we have hope now, you know? And with hope, you know, things look better.
I just hope, and I don't want to be the pessimist here, but I mean, you know, people are just so hopeful, and they're putting so much pressure on just this one man.
Right.
I mean, what difference, like, seriously, like, what difference can one person really make? I mean, if you've got, like, the Senate and everything else, you know, kind of, like, blocking a lot of the things that you're going to be trying to do.
Right.
I mean, they almost make it impossible.
Yeah. But many people know that sometimes, in order to fix something like this, it's going to take two terms, you know. So sometimes, yeah, I mean, just to settle in takes them a couple of years to really get a grasp of everything. And they have to pick up a lot of shit now.
And I hope people, the American people, are patient enough, you know, to wait this long.
Yeah, well, we'll see. You know, people are pretty pressured right now with the economy and the war and everything, you know. So who knows? But
what is he going to do with the war? I'm sorry, I've been out of, like, world news and kind of in my own little world.
Well, he's going to try and get out quickly.
Really?
Yeah.
But I thought he wanted to put more people in Afghanistan.
That I'm not sure about. I just know that people have had it with the Iraq war, and people want us out. And I think he's going to do it.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Because this was George Bush's war. It's not America's war. It really isn't. You know, it was about him, about saving his father's face, saving face for his father, for not getting anything done in the first war. And, you know, so it's just, I'm glad to see him gone. You know, let him ride into the sunset. He's going to be recorded in history as the worst president ever, and which he's earned.
That has got to suck.
It really got
to
suck.
I mean, that really, really has to suck to be known as the worst president.
But I mean, to me, it was shocking he was elected, and even more shocking the second time.
I know.
After people have already seen how terrible he is. You know, it didn't start on the second term.
I'm slightly embarrassed to say that I voted for him.
You did. Twice?
Twice.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
Well, you paid for it big time.
Well, I didn't know any. I really didn't know any better at the time. I mean, yeah. I was blindly following my parents' political beliefs and
That's right. You were what, 18, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, and the things that had been imposed on me, and so.
That's true. I mean, to this day, I still feel that some of my views on things are my parents' views. And it's funny because we go through life and not really questioning them. And then one day you realize, why am I thinking this way?
I know.
You know?
When I moved to California, they're going, oh, great, she's going to turn into a liberal asshole. Oh, man, that's what everyone keeps saying out here.
Yeah.
But what can you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
And that brings us to our author of this book. People are idiots, and I can prove it.
That's a great fucking title, huh?
It really is.
Yeah, so we'll call him in a few minutes. And it sounds pretty interesting. You know, I think that I do also think that people are idiots.
People are such idiots. They really are. I mean, seriously.
It's just fun to say.
I know. Look at you over there.
No, it is. It is. Nobody ever thinks they're an idiot, you know, but everybody else is.
I know. Especially when you're driving around in a car in Los Angeles, you're just like, really? I'm the biggest fucking idiot on the road, I swear to God, half the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm awful.
Well, at least you can admit it, yeah.
I should not be left behind the wheel of a car half the time. I mean, you know, when I've got the kids in the car, I'm different, I'm very focused, I pay attention to things. But if it's just me, I'm kind of in my own little world, and I've got the music, I've got this, I'm driving.
Yeah, I think most people do that.
Ooh, I have to tell you, do you know how I can get the knob off my shifter in my car?
Yeah, you just twist it.
Really?
Yeah, twist it.
I'm not going to break it if I twist it too
hard? Well, actually, I don't know what it looks like, so I'll have to see.
Looks like a black ball.
Just a black ball?
Yeah.
Is this like a manual transmission?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, those should twist right off.
Okay, because I got, I bought kangaroo balls.
Uh-huh.
A kangaroo ball gear shifter.
Oh, yeah? So it fit right on.
I hope
That's
so.
That's cool.
That way I'll be driving along. People will be like, what the hell is that? Kangaroo balls? There are all these castrated kangaroos running around Australia because I've got their balls in my hand. Is that wrong?
No. If you ate kangaroo, it's fine. You can take their balls too.
And that's another thing. Your little clip that you had on the beginning of the show about
the raccoons,
about the raccoons and stuff. Mm-hmm. People over in Australia, even the Aboriginal people, will actually eat roadkill.
Really?
Oh yeah. Especially if it's fresh, they check and see how warm it is.
Oh fuck, man.
Oh, isn't that nasty?
It's disgusting.
Which actually brings me to another little story I wanted to say. You remember my best friend, Janique?
Yes.
Who came back in the very beginning in August?
Mm-hmm.
So she had this boyfriend, Paul, once upon a time. And he used to operate the snowcat to drive all the rich, fancy people. He would pull them in a sleigh up to the top of the mountain where this really fancy restaurant was. And one day the chef was having a problem with these things called pine martens. They're kind of a ferret type looking animal, but they're really wild, and they would run into the restaurant and steal the food from the kitchen and run out. So chef said he would give some, whoever could catch them, $200 per pine marten. So Janique comes home from work one day, and she hears the Red Hot Chili Peppers blaring through the house, and she doesn't see her boyfriend. She goes into her bathroom, where she has the only bathtub in the house, and he's taking a cage, a Have a Heart cage, with a pine marten in it. And the highlight of the song or the climax of it, he submerges the pine marten into the bathtub, killing it.
Wow.
Drowning it. Not wow. I mean, what the fuck?
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So the thing starts and he's got
Wow.
Not wow. Oh my God. Yeah, not wow.
Okay.
So he submerges the thing and it goes wild and it's wow, screeching and screaming.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden the thing finally dies and drowns. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? This is my bathtub. But so he actually did that with about 10 pine martens. And then he used her pot to, like, skin them in the kitchen and boil their insides the way Native Americans did.
Are you serious?
And, like, stretch out the skin on a hanger and dry the fuckers and make a hat. He made a hat. He made a hat out of pine martens.
Wow.
Yeah. How disturbing is that?
Not wow, sorry.
Not wow. No wow.
Jeez.
Isn't that fucked up,
yeah,
though?
People are fucked up. How can you even do that, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, even if it was a dead animal, well, I guess it was dead when he was skinning it. But
yes.
But how can you fucking kill an animal like this? Especially by drowning. It's probably, like, the worst way to die, you know?
Oh, my God. I know. My lungs, like, feel... I don't know. I don't, for some reason, I've got this big fear of, like, being in water. And, like,
right, yeah.
Even if I'm, like, playing around with someone, and they go to just kind of, like, hold you under the water for a second,
uh-huh.
I freak out.
Really?
I really freak out. I mean, I don't find that funny. And Daniel would always, like, joke around with me on Australia. He's like, hold your breath. And I'm like, no. I'm like, please don't drown me. Oh, my God. I miss him.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you mean already?
Have you been talking on the phone or?
I talked to him briefly yesterday.
Did you?
And I said... Baby, I said, it's Suze. And I was like, I want to ask you a question. He's like, what? And I said, I'm on my way to my friend's house right now, to Chase's house, to send an international fax to the school. I'm like, you know, this is a step in my moving to Australia. Yeah. Do you want me to send the fax?
Uh-huh.
And he wouldn't really give me, like, that much of a straight answer, but he was like, I was like, yes or no? Do you want me to send the fax?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I also sent you a picture of the pregnancy test that says negative. So there's no baby pressure here. And he's like, send the fax. So he told me to send the fax. So does that mean he wants me to come, or that means he wants me to leave the option open?
I think he didn't know what to do at the moment, so he said maybe what you wanted to hear. I don't know. I mean,
you are such a pessimist.
I know. But I know guys, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck, you know? So you send the fax. He's still not committed because of it, you know?
True.
Just send the fucking fax, you know? It's not like you said, well, do I give notice at my landlord or whatever, you know? I mean, do I buy the ticket? Do I pack? Whatever.
Oh, my God.
You know, these are more committed things, you know? At that point, he would be like, oh, she's actually coming. but no, give it time, I think, you know? Give it some time and see how things work, you know?
That's what everyone keeps saying.
Yeah. Yeah, simply because you don't want to do things at the spur of the moment like you have been doing. You know, maybe slow down a little bit and actually give it some thought, you know? It's a life-changing decision you want to make here.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And
it's pretty daunting.
See, yeah, and I mean, the fact that you didn't get pregnant maybe means that you shouldn't. You know? Because you tried real hard.
We did try. Pillow under the butt and everything.
Yeah, my God.
I'm serious.
Yeah, but you realize this is beyond the realm of crazy. I mean, at this point, you're like nuts.
Thank you. You're precious.
Yeah. Well, we tell it like we see it, you know?
Well, here's the other thing. Like, he was like, oh, did you do your radio show today, meaning yesterday? And I was like, yes, I did. He's like, what'd you talk about? And I was like, well, for about an hour and a half, I think I talked about you. And then he was like, really? He's like, what was there to say about me for an hour and a half? And I was like, I don't know. I can ramble on forever about anything.
Yeah, take a listen.
But so then I think he was going to go back and listen to the show yesterday. Uh-huh. And then after he may or may not have had a chance to do it because he doesn't have internet at his house, he would have to go to an internet cafe.
Right.
And I don't know if he's got headsets. And I don't know if that's the kind of thing you want to play for the whole internet cafe. But so what if he listened to it and was like, this girl really is fucking crazy. What am I thinking?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So that could be bad.
Well, he should have been listening to it when he was still there.
Oh, no. That's the worst.
No, he should have if he wanted to know.
It
would
have
saved him a lot of headache.
It was like the one guy on eHarmony that was like, please, 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 you know, I really want to listen to your radio show. I really want to listen to you. And I thought he was like super cute. And I was like, all right, I'll let this guy have a listen. And then I'm talking about like, you know, having a cum shot to the face that morning, and he's just like instantly match closed.
Really?
Instantly.
Really?
After listening to our show.
Oh.
Not cool.
No, well, not everybody can deal with this, you know?
Well, that brings me to another point. So this morning, there's this guy, Christian on eHarmony, that I gave my number to like eons ago. Long time. And so he actually has been trying to call me forever. And it's like, I don't know, I've been ignoring his phone calls, you know, because I've always been previously engaged with other boys. And then all of a sudden, like, when I lost my phone yesterday, he called this morning and I didn't recognize the number on my way here. And I pick it up. I'm like, hello. Yeah. And he's like, it's Christian from eHarmony. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, you caught me. But he actually has a cool job. So I was stuck talking to him for a while. And then I was like, I got to go. I just almost ran over a leaf blower guy in the middle of the street. But so he actually has an interesting job. He's a prop master.
Prop master.
Prop master. Now, how dirty does that sound?
In films and stuff?
Yes.
Oh.
But doesn't that just sound dirty?
Prop master.
I'm a prop master. I just picture someone with a little whip, you know, just ready to, like, I don't know, prop you on the ass or something. You know, like a ride. I guess that's a riding crop. Crop master. Uh-huh. Maybe I'll be a crop master when I grow up.
A crop master.
Yes, with a little whip.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my sexual psychology classes I took a long time ago, you've got four quadrants of your ass. And they actually taught us how to appropriately give someone a spanking.
Really?
Yes, in the four different quadrants.
Yeah?
Yes.
And what did you learn?
That there are four quadrants and there are different places that you should be slapping, you know, so you don't, I don't know, damage your system.
Oh, I see.
Yes. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Can you imagine me meeting someone and you're into spanking and shit, and you draw those fucking quadrants on your ass, and then you tell them exactly where to slap you.
That's exactly what they did in the class. Like, we had a person that was bound and gagged and blindfolded.
What kind of a class is that?
It's bisexual psychology's courses.
Yeah, but still.
Oh, man, this class was fucked up. They actually, in this one particular movie that I'm talking about, while the person was, like, showing the quadrants and where to spank, you know, so you don't... Like, you can like, hurt someone's system, like, in S&M.
Right.
Like, their internal shit. Yeah. But so the same class, they were actually teaching how to, like, stretch out your ass. That way you could fit more things in it.
Fit things where?
In your ass.
Okay, can we change subjects now?
No, there was one guy that actually, he had the objective of having someone's head in, like, in his ass.
Really?
Like, that was his objective. And we're learning how to do this in this stupid psychology class.
That is some psychology class.
Isn't that disturbing?
Very, very.
Well, if anyone wants to check out the video, it's called Beyond Vanilla.
Beyond Vanilla?
Yes.
Yeah?
That will teach you the appropriate spanking quadrants and how to do all kinds of dirty things that you never thought you wanted done. Or maybe you did. I don't know.
Well, have you ever done any of these things?
No.
No.
Well, the spanking, yes.
The spanking.
A little giving, a little receiving.
Are you into spanking? I don't see that. Like... White people
if I've been a bad girl.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, some women like that.
Well, if you've been a bad girl in bed and it's like, oh, you naughty little thing, you naughty, you cheeky monkey, and then you get a nice little spank on the ass.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess that would be a turn on.
Could be.
Know. Yeah.
You never give your wife
a cute ass there?
A good little smack?
Yeah. No.
Oh,
maybe,
man.
I do sometimes, but, you know, out of just...
I don't know. Doing someone doggy style and the ass is just like right there, primed and
I
ready
see.
To go.
Okay,
and you just give it a little slap.
Nah, I'm not into that. Never did
really?
That. Yeah. But it might be interesting. Who knows?
Teach their own.
Yeah. Let's call our author now on that note, right? I mean, I can't believe every time we're going to call an author, we have like this dirtiest fucking conversation and they probably feel shit. I can't take this clip.
It's a wonderful segue. To people are idiots, and I can prove it. It's a perfect segue.
Can you give me the piece of paper from inside of it? So, since you have the book, at least I'll just be reminded of the full name of the book. It's called People Are Idiots, and I Can Prove It, 10 Ways You're Sabotaging Yourself and How You Can Overcome Them.
Mm.
The author is Larry Wingate, and so we're going to call him now. And I think this book is... climbing up on the bestseller list. I'm not sure. Okay, he's probably busy on another interview.
Give him time, patience.
Larry Wingate?
Yes. Larry, good morning. This is Sam and Susie calling you from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Good, good. Where are we calling you?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, very nice.
Nice. Is it cold, hot? What's it like there now?
It's going to be gorgeous today. Probably 75 degrees. Wonderful.
Nice. Nice.
Nice and dry.
Yes.
Always dry.
Wonderful. Larry, you've written several books, and the latest one is People Are Idiots, and I Can Prove It. Obviously, a title that's a little provocative. Just a little bit, you know. I know. Did you come up with this? Because I know sometimes the publishers are the one that come up with the names, the titles for the books.
No. I'm very fortunate to have a publisher who kind of gives me free rein in the naming of my books. So these are all my titles that I've written. Yeah. And I believe very much in provocative titles. You have to kind of shake people up sometimes to wake them up. So
you really do.
That's
the
point
of this.
Yeah. So it definitely grabs you. So it seems like, and we were just talking about this with Susie, is that it seems like everybody thinks that other people are idiots, but nobody thinks they are idiots. Now, so what is behind this? Why do you claim that people are idiots?
If you want proof that people are idiots, just turn on the television, go get behind the wheel of your car, walk down the street. They're everywhere. They are. No one can deny that.
Yeah.
The proof in the book that I give, and I poke fun at a lot of the things, but I take a very not fun stance on it, is that we have a real contradiction between what we say we'd like to have happen in our lives and what actually we make happen in our lives.
Ah.
So while we say we would like to be healthy, I think that we're all liars. People don't really want to be healthy. I mean, if we really wanted to be healthy as a society, we wouldn't spend 6 hours a day watching television. We wouldn't be such a sedentary society of people. We wouldn't eat twice as many calories as we need to sustain a good, healthy lifestyle. We'll spend $33 billion this year on weight loss products, when all we'd really need to do is just eat less and maybe go for a walk.
Right.
We say we'd like to have good kids. That's the biggest lie in the world. We don't really want good kids as Americans, when the latest studies show that we spend 3.5 minutes per week. That's per week in meaningful conversation with our children.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, we'd like to have good kids, just not enough to talk to them.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. So you're saying that people really know what they should do, but they don't do it.
Yep, and to me, that's the height of stupidity. When you know what it takes to be successful and you don't do it, that's just stupid.
Right.
Then we want to blame other people for the fact that we have lousy results when we're the ones that created these results.
Right, and you tell it like it is, and I like that. You also had another book called Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life.
That was my first bestseller. Then we went from that to It's Called Work for a Reason, a business book, and then the last one was You're Broke Because You Want to Be.
Yeah, well, you're definitely a genius with titles, let me tell you.
One that'll be out this time next year is Stop Raising Stupid Kids.
Oh, no!
I love that one. So, now, how would you define yourself? Are you a motivator? Are you a psychologist? What kind of background do you come from?
I come from sort of a background of being the biggest idiot on the planet. I really have made about every mistake that one could possibly make. I grew up poor, got rich, went bankrupt, went from bankrupt to multimillionaire. I've done everything wrong you could possibly make. I certainly would never call myself a motivational person.
Right.
In fact, I have trademarked the phrase that I'm the world's only irritational speaker.
Oh, no!
Not motivational. Yeah. It's trademarked I'm irritational. I think you have to irritate people. You have to make people uncomfortable
in order
for them to change. We spend so much time trying to make people feel good about themselves, and I think that's the wrong approach. We need to make people feel lousy about their stupid mistakes.
There you go, and then they'll do something.
You feel like you've been an idiot and feel lousy about it and tie some emotion to your stupidity, that's when you're prone to change.
Right.
We don't change when we're happy with who we are. We change when we get upset with who we are.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I did want to ask, why do you think people, I mean, I'm sure there's not just one reason, but would you say it's because people are lazy, or what is really the reason that people don't do what they should do?
Well, I really cover that in the book. It's called The 10 Ways We Sabotage Ourselves. And they're dealing with a lot of stupid people over the years, myself included. I came up with these 10 ways. One, the first thing on the list is ignorance. They just don't know any better. And that's okay for a while. I mean, it's okay not to know how to do some things, but it's not okay not to know how to be successful, financially secure, healthy, all those kind of things. So ignorance is all right for a little while, but at some point you got to get the education to fix it.
Right.
So then once you get a little education to fix it, and you don't do it, that's when I would call you stupid. So stupid is one way people sabotage themselves.
Yeah.
And then it does go into laziness. People are just too lazy to fix it.
Right.
And then, you know, I cover seven others, which we really probably don't have time for. But to me, one of the big ones is that people don't have a plan. They spend more time planning their vacation than they do the rest of their lives. If you were going to go on vacation, you would say, okay, this is where I want to go. You would know the destination. You would have a map to get there. You would know who you wanted to go with, what you wanted to see, and how much it was going to cost.
Right.
You don't do that with your life. You don't. Most people have no idea where they'd like to end up, who they'd like to go with, what they'd like to do along the way, and what the budget is to make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I don't get is people get books that are like the Idiot's Guide for Poker or something, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I went to buy a book, I would not get one that's for idiots. But maybe maybe people are accepting the fact that maybe we are.
Yeah.
Well, if they're honest and looking themselves in the eye and realize that every once in a while we're all idiots, all you have to do to determine if you are an idiot is look at your results.
Right.
If you have really good results and you're making progress in your life and your life is the way you'd like for it to be, then you're probably doing all right. But if you have an area of your life where you don't like your results, then you're doing stupid things because stupid results come from stupid behavior.
Right.
My whole approach is based on that old joke where the guy goes into the doctor and says, "Doctor, it hurts when I do this."
Right. Don't do it.
The doctor says, "Well, then don't do that."
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, this is awesome. I mean, we could talk to you for hours and stuff about this because you seem to have figured it out. What is the? I mean, do you have a website where people can go and learn more, or should we just go and get the book?
Well, you can go to LarryWinget.com, just LarryWinget.com. You'll find out my opinions on a lot of things. I'm on television two or three times a week, and you'll see all the video clips there of my appearances, and find out more about what my beliefs and so forth are and about the books. And I give away a lot of free stuff on there, so you can
nice.
Get a lot of free stuff. But I do suggest,
wonderful.
Obviously, that people yeah. go to the bookstore, buy
and
the book.
Buy it, yeah. And I know I saw it displayed prominently, so I think you're on the right track with that one. You had, obviously, bestsellers before, right? So it's not new to you.
This would be my fourth bestseller. This one just hit the New York Times bestseller list this week. So.
Very nice.
Wow,
you must be very proud of yourself. Obviously, you're not an
Thank
idiot,
you.
Or at least not anymore. So, Larry, all the best to you. Thank you so much. And everybody go get the book. And we'll have a link to your site and to the book on our website later today.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Bye-bye. Okay, if I can just hang up this. Something's happened to the mouse here, so everything
Uh-oh.
Is like... delayed. anyway, we're going to take a little break. I thought we'd leave you with some Chris Rock for a few minutes.
Ah,
you
excellent.
Love Chris Rock?
I do.
I'm crazy about Chris Rock. So let's hear
Bring
some of
on.
My favorite stuff.
I don't know, man. A lot of women here tonight. That's good. I like women. My mother's a woman. That helps. You know what cool thing about women? Women get to have platonic friends. He's my pal. He's my bud. He's my platonic friend. I love him like a brother. He's my bud, my platonic friend. Men don't have platonic friends, okay? We just have women we haven't fucked yet. As soon as I figure this out, I'm in there. I mean, we got some platonic friends, but oh, no. I got some, but they all by accident. Every platonic friend I got is some woman I was trying to fuck. I made a wrong turn somewhere and ended up in the friend zone. Oh, no. I'm in the friend zone. Oh. Women keep platonic friends forever. Why? Because you never know. That's right. They get rid of girlfriends every 6 months. What happened to Pam? She thinks she cute. But they keep them platonic friends forever. Why? Because you never know. What happened to Carol? I can't hang with her. But they keep them platonic friends forever. Why? Because you never know. You know what a platonic friend is to a woman? It's like a dick in a glass case. In case of emergency, break open glass. That's what shocking when you mess up. One of them guys you ain't even thinking about. Boy, she'd be crying on the show. I can't believe this happened. I'm so glad you're here. That's right. It's gonna happen to you. You know the next man to fuck your woman. You've met him. He's been in your house. He hates your food. He's drank your wine. And he shall betray you. Women got it good. One thing I learned about women. Guys, never ask a woman how many men she slept with. Because you don't want to know. Just be happy you're fucking her now. Why you want to know? You ain't discovering shit. You ain't putting a flag nowhere. Just be happy you're getting it now. Why you want to know? Why? Why you want to know? First of all, no matter what she say, it's too much for you. No matter what she say, she can go two. You be like, two. No. Two. Woo. I guess that's how you was raised. Women don't lie. Why you want to make your woman? Because she's going to lie. Women will lie about how many guys she fucked in court. They don't care. Yeah, I swear. Yeah. If she says 3, that's 10. So you got to give every woman like a 7-dick curve. That's more like 3 dicks to the 8th power. And women, y'all think y'all slick. Y'all ain't slick. I know the game. I watch it unfold, boy. You ask a woman how many guys she fucked, she's not going to tell you how many guys she fucked. She'll tell you how many boyfriends she had. Because women only count their boyfriends. That's right. They don't count all those miscellaneous dicks they had. You know, that guy they met at the club. The guy they fucked from the club that night. Oh, that time they fucked Bobby Brown. The guy they fucked in Jamaica. That's another country. It don't count. I thought we just talking about domestic dick. Women got it good. Good. I don't know. I feel sorry for women sexually sometimes. Because, you know, men, we only have one responsibility. Knock it out. That's it. Be good in bed. That's your only responsibility. Women, you know, they could be good, but sometimes they try not to be too good. You know what I mean? And women, sometimes women have to ration out the pussy, you know? Because they want the man to think they got a good woman, but they don't want him to think he got a freak. So they got to ration out the pussy. Okay, I'm going to fuck him now, but I'm going to suck his dick for 2 weeks. All right, I'm going to suck his dick now, but I'm going to lick his balls till next month. All right, I'm going to lick his balls now, but I'm going to lick his ass till next year.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Some real close them. This is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
That'd give you something soft after that head-banging music.
I know. That was a change of pace for you.
Yeah, well, I try to please everyone pretty much. You know?
You're such a people pleaser, Sam. That Chris Rock shit is so funny.
Yeah, it
so
really is.
So true.
Huh? Everything he says is true. I mean, he captures the American culture like nobody else does. You
Not
know?
Just the American culture. I mean, that's pretty universal.
Is it really?
Oh,
yeah. That's true. That's true.
And I mean, the thing you were saying about different like zip codes and different countries.
Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously.
And a dick in a glass bowl, you know, that's so fucking true, you know. That's why I say, you know, women can't have, or men can't have women friends, you know. Eventually, I mean, you always want to fuck them.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Okay, it's a, kind of a cynical comment, but I think for the most part, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. You know how I feel about the subject. I like to be able to have a lot of platonic friends, but
and
but
you do,
they could.
You do, but you fuck them all. Most of them.
Well,
ex-fiances and shit.
I have, actually, you know what? I did have a lot of friends back in Boston. One guy in particular that was like one of my best friends.
Mm.
But then like when he was having problems with his girlfriend, when I was having problems with my boyfriend, we would always turn to each other
mm-hmm.
in a time of need.
Yes.
You know, it gets cold in Boston. What can I say?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he gets involved in a new relationship again. And then like he can't be my friend anymore. And I was like, I'm capable of fucking you and still being your friend.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't want to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sex was nice every now and then, but at the same time, men are just, they're not really capable of having both.
It's kind of hard, yeah, because men think of sex all the time, you know? I mean, I'm telling you, it's like you see a pussy and you just stop and look and fantasize or whatever, you know? It's really hard. And, yeah, I mean, I've got stories about this shit. And
how many people have you slept with?
I don't know, you know, I mean, I stopped. I mean, I counted when I was younger, but now, I mean, look, I've been in long relationships too, you know.
That's what Chris Rock said. Just because you've been in a relationship doesn't mean that's the only. I've been in 10 relationships, therefore 10 girls I fucked. Okay. Mm-hmm.
No. But it's not that many, you know. I would think maybe in the, I don't know. I don't think more than like 40, 50 maybe at the most.
Wow.
Which is not a lot. That's not a lot.
No.
You know, some people talk about 80 and 100 and more.
Oops.
You know. but you know, that's the thing is that we're obsessed with conquests, with numbers, with, you know, it's like, it's kind of an achievement, you know. And I don't know if it's necessarily so. I mean, when you're young, yes, you try to score and impress your friends and shit, you know. But later on, I don't know. I don't know if it's about, like, how many women I've slept with. Although I wouldn't mind, you know, being able to say I've slept with 2,000 or something, you know.
Actually, I think
all these porn stars and shit.
I think we mentioned this before on the air, but I watched like a documentary or something on the girl who wanted to sleep with the most men in the world,
mm-hmm.
and so they actually had like fluffers, you know, like keeping the guys erect in the audience.
Right.
And she would like literally be standing there on stage, and the guys would just come in, like stick their dick in her.
Mm-hmm.
She would get iced down so she wouldn't get so sore, and the next guy would like come and stick his dick in her. It's like, ew, that's so gross.
It really is, you know.
I forget how many people she slept with, and like I think it was like 2,000 people or something in like a short amount of time.
Wow.
But like, that's nasty.
It really is. I mean, it's not sex anymore. It's not fun anymore.
No.
You know?
Oh yeah. My God. It's
and
totally
I don't see
not.
How people get off on this shit, you know?
Well, I was telling you outside a second ago, I have someone that actually has a list of mm-hmm. the people I've slept with since a boyfriend I've had like 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so every time, I'm not saying how many people there have been, because there have only uh-huh. been like three. But but
I don't think so. It's
up.
Only three in the past 2 weeks.
Fuck off. I was on vacation. It was vacation yeah. sex.
Okay, but it counts.
I know it counts. No, it was in a different country. It doesn't count.
Yeah.
But so he has a list of the people that I've slept with, and so every time I sleep with someone else, I'll send him a text, be like, we got a lister. So I was in Australia, and Dan looks over my shoulder when I was sending this person an email, and I was like, hey, I was like, type, I'm like, I've got a lister for you. And he leans over, and he's like, what's a lister? And then he was like, "Oh my God, you little slut." He's like, "I can't fucking believe I'm a lister. Oh my God." Like, he was so offended. Uh-huh. And I was like, "What? Like, you don't have like a belt you keep your notches on or something? I mean, like, please."
Yeah.
Like, why does there have to be such a double standard? I was like, "Yes, you're on my list.
Yeah.
You are now officially a lister." He was like so hurt by this, though. I couldn't believe it. It was really cute.
I'm sure. What the fuck, you know? Everybody wants to think he's the first one or the best one or the last one.
No, he's like, "I do that." He's like, "I'm the guy that goes out and like hoards around and like, you know what I mean, just like, you know, sleeps with a guy and like throws him on a list or something. You're not supposed to do that."
Yeah, that is a double standard.
I hate these double standards. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
So I'm working on throwing them all out the window.
Good. Thank and you've you. Been successful at
Thank
it, too.
Thank you. You're so sweet, Sam.
Yeah, you're such a woman liberator, you know?
I really am.
Yeah.
Free the pussy.
Yeah.
Get rid of the chains. Throw those chastity belts out. Yeah. I think our guest is here.
Our guest is here?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get him in here. We do have a new president now, so congratulations.
Wow, it's official.
It's official now. We don't have to look at Bush anymore. We don't have to hear from him anymore. And I'm extremely happy. So
I know, me
too. It's time to move forward, you know?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to take just a short break. Stick with us, and we'll be back right after this.
One day I'll tell you how it feels like, a day when everything is alright. I'd like to give it to you easy, yeah, I'm just hoping you can feel me. You think you got it going on, girl, you move around in such a strange world. When everybody lets it all out, you keep it in because you're so proud. You should know the meaning of a goal. I could have told you love is getting old. How you would bear the flowers in your hair. Was getting scared cause love has never failed. But you don't know, so now I'm not so insecure. If you could show me how to get you out the door. No, I won't lie, I can't deny. I will try leaving without a goodbye. Another place, 'cause you don't even know me anyway. Yeah, this is just a lot of ways, and you don't even got a clue. No, you don't even know what to do. 'Cause every time I try to tell you, you make it look like I am such a fool for you. But you should know the meaning of a goal. I could have told you love is getting. Getting scared cause love has never been. But you don't know, so now I'm not so insecure. If you could show me how to get you out the door. No, I won't lie.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Okay, and we're back.
And we have
our guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
Good. Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Goldstein. I'm the author of LA's Graveside Companion.
Graveside Companion.
Graveside Companion.
Companion.
Yes.
Wow. And Goldstein, you're not mistaken for Irish sometimes or anything,
sometimes,
right?
Sometimes. Are you Irish Catholic? Yeah. I said yes. On my mother's side, yeah.
Yeah, well, we like to have Jews here. I'm a fellow Jew myself.
I'm a Shiksa.
Oh, good. The Shiksa goddess.
Yeah. So, how long have you lived in L.A.?
32 years.
Really?
Yes.
That's about as long as I've been here. That's interesting.
I'm sorry, 34 years. Wow. Time flies. 34 years.
And where did you grow up?
Boston, Massachusetts.
Boston.
Oh, wonderful.
There you go.
You're from Massachusetts, aren't you?
Yeah.
I lived in Marblehead for 4 years.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know what that is?
I do.
Really?
North Shore.
Yes.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Anthony's Pier 4?
Of course.
My best friend's the owner of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We were just there in September. We didn't eat at the restaurant, but we drove by it and I pointed it out to my wife.
Yes.
So that used to be the place to go. It probably still is.
They have a lot more restaurants in the area and things now than back in the day. You know,
that was like, when I was in high school, that was the place for the nicest dinner.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's phenomenal.
I was glad it's still there. So much has not changed.
I know, right?
In Austin, and here things change so quickly.
Yeah. So what made you move to L.A.?
My family. My dad was in the record business. I was 18 at the time. I didn't want to move. Mm-hmm. I just graduated high school, just became legal drinking age in Massachusetts. I was yanked out of there and brought
here. It's hard for kids when you move, you know. I've been moved quite a bit when I was a kid and stuff. And it's hard to plant roots and stuff, you know, once you move. But at 18, you're kind of older now. You're on your own and stuff, you know.
And I thought I could stay there and be on my own, but I was mistaken.
Yeah. Still need mom and pop.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what do you do now? I mean, are you like a full-time writer or?
That's my hobby. I actually own a payroll company. So
Really?
It couldn't be more different than
that. Do you want to put me on it?
Yeah, she would love that. Yeah.
No problem. I get those calls all the time. I need to be on payroll. I need more money on my check. And
oh, no.
So, yeah. That's
so how does one suddenly, decide, I'm going to do a book on cemeteries?
Well, it started with being interested in walking around cemeteries and making discoveries and sharing them with friends. And it started when I was growing up in Boston as a young child. I used to love to go into cemeteries and look at these old 200, 300-year-old graves. And suddenly you're stumbling upon Paul Revere and John Hancock and Samuel Adams.
Really?
So, it's so fascinating.
Now, walking around cemeteries is kind of morbid, though, wouldn't you say?
People always think that. Yeah. You know, to me, it's kind of, I look at them as kind of like museums.
Yeah, that's true, though. That's
and there's
true.
A lot to see there and a lot to learn. So I just started finding graves of interesting people and photographing them. And then someone said, oh, you should do a book. The book started off as a website. So 10 years ago, we launched BeneathLosAngeles.com.
Ten years ago?
10 years ago is when I first started promoting
the
book.
Wow.
And it finally is being published this week.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It's coming out next week on
Congratulations.
The 28th.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
10 years.
10 years in the making.
Oh, my goodness.
My God, yeah.
I don't know if my attention span's that long.
It's changed a lot since then. But, it's
but it should do pretty well because I don't know that I've seen any books on this topic.
There are a couple written by friends of mine, actually. So when the publisher asked me to make it a guidebook, it wasn't supposed to be a guidebook at first. It was a coffee table book.
Right.
Photographs.
Right.
Yeah.
And for 10 years, it was getting rejected everywhere. Everyone kept saying, great idea, but no. And so I finally got a publisher to say yes. And,
wow.
They said, we love it, but can you make it instead of this, can you make it this?
Mm-hmm.
A tour book.
And right.
I was concerned because I didn't want to write a book that my friends had already written.
Yeah.
It's different. I made it my own.
But, I mean, that's a lot of persistence, 10 years. You know, I mean, with so much rejection, I'd probably just shelf it after a couple times.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's kind of insane.
But if you believe in what you do, you know, and I mean, obviously you've put a lot into it. Yeah. So I'm sure at least the 10 years has given you a lot of time to really make it
research it and really find things out and separate fact from fiction. You know, you get so many facts in your head. I take people around to these cemeteries and I tell stories, and I sometimes have to think about, where did I first hear the story? Is it really true, or is it just something I heard or read that maybe wasn't true?
You know? Yeah.
Right.
And so as I was writing the book, I had to research all these facts and make sure that they were accurate.
Right.
I don't want to put out inaccurate stuff. So.
And do you – I'm sorry, Susie.
That's okay.
Ahead.
Who's the oldest person you have in your book?
The oldest grave?
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question. Well, Rudolph Valentino is 1926. Charlie Chaplin's infant son, 1919.
His infant son?
Yeah, he lived for 3 days. Charlie Chaplin's first born child was, he lived for 3 days. He was born deformed.
Oh, no.
And this gravestone simply says, the little mouse.
Nice.
But his name was Norman Spencer Chaplin, and he took me years to find.
Really?
Yeah, but that was 1919.
And where is he buried?
He's at Inglewood.
Okay.
And not where the other books say he is. Other books put him in the baby section of Inglewood. Mm-hmm. Others put him at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. He's not in those places. One day I stumbled across him down by the lake in Inglewood, literally fell to my knees because it was such a discovery.
Oh.
I'd been looking for him.
Now, how did you know that was what was going to be engraved on the stone?
I'd read that.
You'd read that?
Yeah,
okay.
In many places.
Wow.
So it's not like just a stroll around the cemetery and finding someone. It's more like you decided who you want to look for?
It's both.
Sometimes
you go in search of somebody, having a general idea where they might be, and then you kind of look around for them. And then others you just literally stumble across. The other day I found Ema Sumac, the singer who just died recently. I remember her from my childhood. She was famous for singing 5 octaves. She was exotic. She was from, you know, some place. Might have been New Jersey. I don't know. But I just stumbled across her, and there she was.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I was going to find her. And those are the most fun, the ones you discover unexpectedly.
It's like a big scavenger hunt your
life
has been.
I use that term a lot. It is like a scavenger hunt.
That could actually be really fun, like getting a whole group of, like, my, I don't know, I'm in a bicycle gang, and, like, getting the people together one night and, like, getting your book and, like, I would actually have your book, and maybe I could design the the little scavenger hunt.
Sure.
That could be fun.
I'd be glad to help with that.
Yeah.
So do you only follow famous people, or are there some interesting graves?
There are interesting graves for various other reasons. On my website, I divide them into three categories. I call them the famous, the infamous, and the just plain dead.
And, I like it.
Just plain dead can be people that are related to famous people or have a famous sounding name or an interesting epitaph or sculpture.
Right.
There's a circus family in Inglewood again called the Flying Cadonas. They were a trapeze act. And Laetzel, the wife, fell to her death, and the husband, they didn't use a net. You know?
Oh, my gosh.
The sculpture at Inglewood is a fascinating, bigger-than-life-size sculpture of her slipping from his arms and him with angel wings. And
really?
One of the best sculptures I've ever seen. And there's one in Hollywood that I like.
That gave me chills.
Wait to hear about this one. Frederick Blanchard has a weeping lady draped over his gravestone. It was designed by Lloyd Wright.
Gravestone.
And this was the guy, Frederick Blanchard, who was the first president of the Hollywood Bowl, so he was responsible for designing that bowl. Lloyd Wright built that, too. So that gravestone fascinated me. Before I knew who the guy was, I was drawn to the grave because this sculpture, this woman just draped over the gravestone, hair falling in her face. I just couldn't get enough of that one.
So people are still preoccupied with death and stuff, just like the Egyptians used to be with the pyramids and everything, right?
Yes.
Which we found were really only burial places for kings. They're not like by aliens and then, you know. We had an author. Remember, we were talking about the pyramids and stuff.
And who discovered how the pyramids were actually built.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
yeah, and all that, which is another topic altogether. But the point is that the way they were preoccupied with life after death and all that stuff, you know, to build all these pyramids. So apparently people have always been fascinated with this stuff, right?
Yes, and how they want to be memorialized. And the pyramids, they put things in there with them. They put their belongings. Sometimes they put their wives and children in there, too, whether they wanted to go or not. Today you see that. Here, you see cremation niches that have their personal effects are in there sort of on display.
Oh,
so when
really?
I say it's like a museum, it really is. There's exhibits.
Right.
People have things they want you to see to remember them by. They have membership cards to organizations they belong to or favorite class ring or photographs. And it is like...
Or their wedding rings and things like that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Ann Sheridan, we just... friends of mine recently moved her out of storage and into a niche. She was in storage. And when they opened the box, but among her ashes were her earrings and her wedding ring.
Aww.
And so now they're on display. They're in the case with her. You can see them.
Wow. I've got a question for you.
Sure.
What do you want on your tombstone?
Oh, that's a good one. Loved by all. By my book. No.
You could put all of them up there.
Are you going to be the final chapter?
Most likely, yeah.
The author's photo in the back will be my gravestone.
Yeah.
No,
we were talking about cremation and stuff.
Yeah.
Are there any religions that do not allow cremation? I've always wondered about that.
You always hear the Jewish religion doesn't allow it, and and yet they have cremation niches in Jewish cemeteries.
Really?
So
that's probably like reform or...
Yeah. I think with every religion, it's a question of how much observance you want to...
Right.
How far do you want to follow the letter of the law? But
right.
But the cemeteries that are specifically Jewish or Catholic, which there's always a Jewish cemetery next to a Catholic one.
Yeah.
And they always have cremation niche sections, so they'll take the money. They'll cremate you and
put
you
there.
Yeah,
they will,
whether you had tattoos or piercings or whatever, you're not supposed to do all that. But
yeah, right. Why are you not supposed to do the whole tattoo thing?
I think it has to do with keeping the body intact and whole.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know.
The body's like a holy... thing,
a
you
vessel.
Know, yeah, exactly.
Something
screw
that.
Like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
She doesn't care.
I just want to enjoy it. Yeah. It's your body. Have fun with it.
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously.
You know? How do we get on tattoos here? We're talking about cemeteries.
Well, no, I was thinking the Jewish faith says if you have a tattoo, you can't be buried in the Jewish cemetery.
And yet, I'm sure they would take you no matter what.
Yeah.
If you got enough coin, they are Jews, they'll
business.
Take you.
Yeah, there you go.
I always wonder, I was discussing this the other day. I wonder if they would take you, if you can't prove you're Jewish, how do you prove it?
Yeah.
If you call
once
a Jewish
dead,
cemetery
right.
and say, I want to buy a plot, they'll sell you a plot, I'm sure. I haven't tried it.
Yeah.
do they start going through your birth certificate and your bloodline? And
are
you Jewish on your mother's side? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
See, that's what I want to do. They've got this birthright program if you're Jewish or have any kind of Jewishness in your background at all. The Jews will pay for you to go to Israel. So I'm like, how am I going to prove, they don't really, delve deeply into my background.
You don't know, they might.
What kind of papers do you have to show?
Yeah.
I want a free trip.
I know, right? There's an age limit. You have to be like under 27.
Oh, no, I'm too late.
I know, and I'm just approaching 27, so I'm like, I got to get some Jew in me.
Eventually it'll happen.
Oh, so many funny lines come to mind.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everything you think is true. That's what she's trying to tell you.
Feel free to say anything.
Yeah.
No, he's a respectable author. Listen.
The listeners are filling in their own jokes.
Yeah. Now, your favorite cemetery must be the one where all the celebrities are, right? What's it called?
My favorite is, it's now called Hollywood Forever. It used to be Hollywood Memorial Park, and that's where I bought my own future plot. I have my own
crypt. Really?
That's how I found Ema Sumac. She's my neighbor now.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Ema Sumac, it turns out, is on my wall, basically. I was showing somebody my crypt, and I went, oh, there's Ema Sumac.
She's your crypt.
Two down and one over, yeah. I'm in a wall. I got a pre-construction discount. It was it's a newer area.
Now, what is it with the crypts? That's as opposed to being in the ground.
Right. These are like drawers in a wall.
Right. And why would people prefer that?
Maybe they don't want worms eating them or something. You're still going to decompose, I think, either way.
But, yeah.
I don't know why I chose that. I was offered a great deal, is why I chose.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Did you say two down and one over?
She's two down and one over. Really? If you look at my crypt and count down two and one over, Ema Sumac.
Oh,
so now everybody
goodness.
Knows where I'm going to be if
so
they can
find
her.
So you're in a good neighborhood. There you go.
I'm in a good neighborhood. It's getting better.
Oh no.
There's also a cop named Lawless, which I think is funny. He's on my Just Plain Dead page.
Plain Dead.
A policeman whose name was Lawless, George Lawless.
That's great.
Funny. That's
so
that's funny
another interesting graves. You know.
Yeah,
we find funny ones all the time.
So
who this ATM is closed. One guy says this ATM is closed.
Oh no! Are you kidding?
No, really.
That's awesome.
Yeah, go to my website. You'll see it.
Oh, I love it.
It's interesting what people want on their tombstones.
Yeah.
So who are some of the biggest celebrities that are buried there?
At Hollywood, Douglas Fairbanks, senior, now junior, also is there.
I don't know who that is.
He was the original swashbuckler. He started United Artists with Mary Pickford. He used to be married, and Charlie Chaplin was his best friend.
Oh, okay.
His son, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., was married to Joan Crawford, and he was a big movie star, too.
Yeah.
John Huston.
You might as well talk about another planet. Because
you know who's over there? Susie would probably know this. Two of the Ramones.
She just flipped me off.
Two of the Ramones.
Okay, I know them.
Johnny Ramone and Deidre Ramone. And Johnny Ramone's grave is like the coolest. It's a sculpture of him playing guitar. So
you've
got to see that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So Johnny Ramone, you'd know.
What are some of the other graves that we should check out? I mean, because you know what's funny is that the other day, well, not the other day, but let's say a few months ago, we drove by there, and my wife says, let's go and drive in there. So we are, and I'm going, why am I at a cemetery? But you know what? It is kind of different.
Was that
cemetery?
One?
Yes.
Did
yes.
you see the rocket ship grave?
No, I didn't see that.
That's where
one.
The Weeping Lady is also, and Harrison Gray Otis, the guy who started the LA Times in 1881, he's there.
Uh-huh.
And Lana Clarkson, the actress that was shot accidentally at Phil Spector's house.
Oh. Yeah.
Any more recent ones that are there?
Yeah, they just buried Vampyra there.
Vampyra?
Yeah, the original horror scream hostess. She was in Plan 9 from Outer Space, the worst movie ever made.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And they also just buried...
Her,
I thought House of Wax was the worst movie ever made.
close second. They just buried, just recently, well, you probably don't know who Ann Savage was. She was a big movie actress.
Related to Fred Savage from The Wonder Years?
No, it wasn't her real... Good guess, though.
Yeah.
her funeral was just this past Sunday, and it was in Hollywood Forever. Wow. She was in a movie in 1945 called Detour.
Okay.
Famous film noir.
So your book focuses primarily on California and Hollywood.
It's Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
12 Los Angeles area cemeteries, and it's a guided tour through each cemetery with photographs. 270
really?
Pictures.
Wow.
Very specific directions to each grave, so you can take the book and literally walk from one grave to the next. I tell you exactly.
Do you have GPS-like coordinates?
No, but you know what? There's websites that include those. Findagrave.com has coordinates.
Really?
But I will take you to the grave, and then I'll say, now look over to your right and go to that tree, and three spaces in front of the tree you'll find, Fred McMurray or something.
Wow. Yeah. It's like geocaching.
Geocaching.
Yeah.
I've not heard that term before. I have to start using that, geocaching.
There's a website called, I forget what the actual website is, but I'm part of it. I get like the updates on it.
Uh-huh.
And people all around the world, it's like one big scavenger hunt for adults.
Oh.
And it's really cool. They give you the coordinates and you have to kind of go and find different things. And everyone, if you take something, you have to leave something and you've got to log it in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things you've got to actually go like rappelling down cliffs to get there. You've got to go scuba diving underwater, like get to like this one rock. Some of it's just like you ride your bike around the Venice canals and like, you know, look in someone's drain gutter and like you find the most amazing things.
Wow. That sounds very fascinating.
So yeah.
Is this something you do with your bike people?
Bike people, yeah, definitely. I've got a little GPS on my bicycle. It's great.
that.
Now, are there like favorite cemeteries that you have?
Yeah, well, I love Hollywood, Westwood, and Inglewood, all the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Westwood's a great one, by the way. For starters, it's a small cemetery. It's not much bigger than this office.
Right.
Really?
That's lots of celebrities. Betty Page just got buried there.
Oh.
Right near Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That one, yeah, in Westwood. I know exactly where that one is.
Yeah, it's right off Wilshire Boulevard.
Right, right. And then there's one, is that the same one where they have a lot of white crosses and stuff?
No, that's the Veteran Cemetery.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and there's a few famous people there, too.
Are they nearby, though, those
Yeah,
two?
They're close to each other. Yeah. The one you're talking about is right off the freeway.
Right, right, exactly.
It's the National Cemetery. And the small Westwood Memorial Park is Wilshire and Glendon. It's right by...
I see, okay.
Right by UCLA. You know,
right,
Westwood
right,
College.
Yeah.
So when you were little, did you go to... I vaguely remember like having a field trip when I was little, and like you take paper and you take a crayon and you rub it all over.
I did the rubbings. Yeah.
Yes.
I wish I could find them today. And today it's illegal. You go to Boston and they say no rubbing because we were wearing down the headstones faster than nature and time.
Oh, no.
But I used to do that. I used to put butcher paper
over
the stones. I used to get Mother Goose or whoever, you know, and rub the charcoal over and get an image of the grave, which that was fun to do. And now
I can't believe it's illegal.
Now they've outlawed it.
Yeah.
So
well, Susie has told us a couple times about an experience in the cemetery.
Oh.
But you don't want to tell him. You'll have to go back in the archives. And
I wonder if I've had a similar experience.
I got
probably if you hang out cemeteries so much, you know.
I got bit by a rabid woodchuck in a cemetery.
Bit by a rabid woodchuck. I found a headless chicken once.
Shush.
Really?
No, really.
Really?
Walking
somebody
about? Was practicing some weird ritual, but it was behind the Flying Cadonas that I talked about.
Oh, my gosh.
So showing somebody the Flying Cadonas right there was a chicken with no head. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it alive?
No, but it had feathers. It was.
No, I don't know.
But, I mean, it wasn't like a frozen chicken.
Yeah.
It was like a real chicken. Somebody did bury a frozen chicken at the pet cemetery in Calabasas.
Oh, no.
They went to the store, went to Ralph's and bought a chicken and buried it.
Why?
And there's a headstone to this day. It was a performance art thing.
But oh, really?
They called him the friendly hen. It's on my website.
Really?
His name was Jeffrey Valance, and I forget the name of the bird. Blinky. It was Blinky, the friendly hen. So go to Calabasas and ask for that because they 30 years later, they're still not amused. They think
don't like it.
They're
huh?
not happy about it.
Yeah.
They were receiving another prank, and if you ask them about Blinky, they'll kick you right out.
So, have you found that you've been involved more like with death and stuff? I mean, do you think about it a lot?
Well, yeah. Well, you know, people now write to me and send me things, and I get, you know, especially around Halloween, I get a lot of calls for interviews, take me on a tour of the cemetery. So it gets me a lot of strange publicity. It got me on Hulhauser. I was on Hulhauser.
Really?
Yeah. He wanted to see the celebrity animals where they're buried, and not all of them are in cemeteries. Right near here, I showed him where Toto from The Wizard of Oz
is
under the freeway here in Studio City.
Really?
Yeah, at the corner of Whitsitt and Riverside.
Oh, that's so cute.
And, is that a cemetery? Or
no,
just
it's
like...
not a cemetery. It was originally the ranch of his trainer, her trainer. It was a female dog that played a male dog. And he was famous for training all these movie animals, and his ranch eventually, he buried the animals on his ranch.
Uh-huh.
The ranch got plowed under, and now it's condos and apartments, and there's a bar in the corner and a parking lot. And the parking lot goes under the Ventura Freeway, and Toto is under that parking lot.
Does he have a gravestone?
No, there's no marker.
Oh.
Yeah, we just know where it is from reading, you know, studying the books.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a hobby. I mean,
it is. It's an unusual hobby. And now it's
so, I mean, how does this start? I mean, how did it come about?
How did I first? Well, starting with the cemeteries in Boston, then we moved to California in 1974, and I wanted to find Marilyn Monroe, so I went to Westwood.
Okay.
And at the time, she was
pretty
much.
Is that where she is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was at the time the only celebrity there. And since then, every time you go back, there's more and more people. Lana Turner.
Mm-hmm.
not Lana Turner. Natalie Wood.
Right.
I was thinking of Lana Wood, her sister. Natalie Wood is there. Burt Lancaster, Roy Orbison, Frank Zappa, Carl Wilson from the Beach Boys, Minnie Riperton.
Yeah. So it's like you're living in Malibu or Beverly Hills or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
and they're all there.
All the stars are in one place.
Except you know they're home.
Yeah. They ain't going anywhere.
Oh, no.
They're there. Peggy Lee is there. I mean, I could go on and on. Westwood's so small, and you just walk up and down the rows and just find people. And now Betty Page is there, you know, the famous pinup from the 50s.
That's awesome.
Just joined them recently.
That's nice.
Wow.
It's a good one because it's small.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you married? Do you
have kids? I'm married. I have 3 stepsons, ages 21 to 27, 2 granddaughters, 5 and 8.
Aww.
Nice.
So get married late in life and you become a grandparent
without
being a parent.
Yeah. There you go.
And that's really, I recommend it highly. It's a great way to go.
Yeah.
And my wife is a banker. We live in the South Bay,
uh-huh.
Redondo Beach. I've lived there for 25 years. I've been in California 34 years, 35, something like that. And I play music. We're in a band. We just played at the Airliner in Lincoln Heights a couple weeks ago. And we'll be
nice.
Do you play guitar?
Yeah.
Very nice.
And a songwriter. That was the original path I was trying to take. I was going to make it as a songwriter. That didn't work out.
And they told you to get a real business. Job, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't know what I would have done if it weren't for the payroll business.
Yeah.
I've been doing that now 25 years, and I have my own company now, 5 years old, and it's we have 400 payroll clients. Wow.
Very nice. Very nice. David Goldstein?
Yes.
What is the name of the book again?
I'm Steve Goldstein.
Steve?
Brother. Yes.
Why did I call you David?
I'm
sorry. You look like a David.
It's a common name. There's a newscaster named David Goldstein on Channel 7.
Well, I don't know them, but I apologize for that.
That's okay. Steve Goldstein, the book is L.A.'s Graveside Companion, Where the VIPs R.I.P. subtitle from Schiffer Books. You can go on my website beneathlosangeles.com and order it there, or you can go to Amazon. The cheapest price I found is amazon.com.
Always, yes.
$13.50. It's $13.50.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
And and write to me. I'll sign it for anybody that wants it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, it sounds pretty cool to me. You know,
it's fun. And there are funny stories. It's not a morbid book. It's a fun, entertaining read. As
yeah,
well as,
I mean, it's something to do in L.A. You know, sometimes we're stuck with nothing to do. You know,
it's kind of funny. I was thinking, you know, I nanny for a couple kids. Mm-hmm. That might actually be fun to like just take them and like go gallivanting around a cemetery.
Yeah. You know what? I just took a class of high school kids right near here, Oakwood School, which is right up the street from you guys, and I took them out on two tours, and they loved it. They were ages 15 to 18.
Yeah.
And they were fascinated. They really loved it. So shout out to Oakwood School if you guys are listening.
Wonderful. Do you want to plug your payroll company as well? You
might PayrollManagementSolutions.com. If you have an employee, don't worry about the taxes. We'll do it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Yeah. We do everything for you.
Wonderful.
You just call us up. The guy worked 40 hours. We're done. You get the payroll, the direct deposit, the W-2s.
Yeah.
I usually don't get asked about that on interviews.
Really? Well, we ask about everything, but yeah, you better be grateful. We're not asking you about everything.
Oh. But, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
Don't say that on this show.
Yeah, I know.
I won't share all my cemetery.
But Steve does seem like a very honest person. I'd let you handle my payroll.
Thank you.
So thank you again for coming in.
My pleasure.
Congratulations.
Thanks,
and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back right after this.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this life. Tonight.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
So, a book on cemeteries. Have you ever thought where you want to be buried?
I would actually like to be cremated.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I do not want to have like my juices sucked out of me and have that embalming fluid.
But you don't have to have that. I mean, they can still bury you in a grave without doing that.
I don't want to decompose. Burn me.
Yeah?
Burn me. I was such a morbid kid, believe it or not, because I had so many pets when I was growing up. Like, I had a pet snake and pet rats and birds and frogs and, you know, a pet lobster. I mean, I constantly just had all kinds of things. But it got to the point where if they would die, like, say one of my rats died in the middle of the winter, or even my fish, you know, if anything died, I would want to bury it. And so the ground would be completely frozen, like, with 2 feet of snow, so I would put it in the freezer. My mom would go to, like, make dinner the next night, and she'd go to, like, take something out of the freezer, and she's like, Jesus Christ, Susie, you put your fucking rat in the freezer, like, next to the food. My parents went as far as to, like, give me my own freezer in the back of the house that I could have for the winters that was only allowed to have my dead animals in it until they could be buried.
Oh.
Isn't that kind of gross?
Sounds like fucking Pet Cemetery to me.
Oh, it was. Actually, that's funny you brought that up, because I auditioned for that movie when I was little.
Oh, really?
And I was second in line to get it.
Really?
And they actually went with these two twins, Blaze and Bo. Because, A, to get around, like, the child acting laws. Mm-hmm. That way the kids can be, you know, worked harder.
Right, right.
And also because it was such a disturbing movie that if one of the kids had, like, a nervous breakdown, then they would have a backup.
Yeah.
But so I remember specifically when that book came out, I think I was, like, I don't know, 7 or something.
Yeah.
And my mom took me to the movie theater to watch it.
Yeah.
Or when the movie came out.
Yeah.
Which is, like, kind of fucked up. I mean, I know I auditioned for it and all, but, like, I had nightmares forever.
I'm sure.
Watching Pet Cemetery. It was pretty crazy because then I actually, I was at school at Boulder and I was at this party over Halloween and I run into the girl or one of the twins and I was like, hey, I was like, are you Blaze or Bo? And she's like, oh, I'm Bo. I'm like, well, you stole my Pet Cemetery from me. She's like, oh my God, you're Susie. We were hoping we would get it and you would not. And I'm like, thanks. But isn't that kind of funny?
Wow.
I could have been even more fucked up than I already am today.
Yeah, you could have.
Could have, should have, would have.
Pet Cemetery.
So I'm excited about this weekend.
Why?
Well, I haven't finalized my plans yet, but my boss up in Malibu, Andrea, has invited me to come. Well, actually, her father invited me to come to Reno this weekend.
Nice.
For Safari Club International.
What is that?
It's this huge, huge, huge convention that they have, and it's all like hunting people and big game outfitters and taxidermists.
Oh.
But this is a little fucked up here.
Yeah.
Because her father's a big game hunter, too, and he lives in Reno. And so he invited me to come out and stay with him and his wife.
Right.
And they would take me over there. But my people that I was hunting with in Zimbabwe are going to be over there, you know, running their little booth trying to get more business.
Yeah.
As is my old boss that I used to go hunting with in Africa.
Yeah.
As is, get this, my taxidermist.
Really?
The one, he still has my wildebeest right now, but the problem is I fucked him before when I dropped off the wildebeest.
Right.
And so now I don't know how to get my wildebeest back because, like, I feel like, I don't know.
Just ask for it.
Well, I know, but, like, all right. So when I slept with him, he got, like, all in love with me. And he was just like, oh, my God, like, I love you. You're fabulous. You're amazing. And I was like, dude, I just slept with you. Like, I'm dropping off my wildebeest. Stuff my rug for me. Do whatever it is you got to do. Yeah. Like, I'm moving to California. Leave me alone. But so then I was telling him how broke I was, like, the whole evening and, well, actually 2 days that I was with him as I'm about to move across country.
God.
And so then I start driving. I'm in New Jersey, and I get a phone call from him. And I'm like, hey, Frank, what's up? And he's like, I just wanted to say I'm really worried about you moving cross country. I'm like, oh, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. He's like, no, you said you're really broke. You have all your credit cards are maxed out. You only have enough gas money to get across country. He's like, what if an emergency happens and you need some money? I want to pay off all your credit cards.
Really?
And I was like, dude, I was like, that's no. I'm like, you don't need to pay off my credit cards.
You see how men are, man? They get pussy, they go crazy.
Oh, my God, I'm telling
you. They lose their fucking mind.
Well, I was like, no. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable. As it is, he already was like, you're not paying for this wildebeest. Like, after these 2 days, like, oh, my God. And I'm like, no, I want to pay for the wildebeest or else I would feel like a whore and think that you thought I only slept with you to get my wildebeest stuffed.
Right.
I feel like that was a great clip for Greg somehow. Yeah. But But you know what I mean? So now it's been like a year and a half since I dropped off my wildebeest with him. I haven't seen him. He paid off my credit cards. I moved cross country. Yeah, well, yeah. I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
I mean, I said no for a while in the appropriate number of...
I know I couldn't either.
I said the appropriate number of no's. Oh, no, no, please. Oh, don't be ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
Which do you want first, American Express, Visa, or MasterCard? But yeah, so now it's going to be like weird when I see him because I changed my phone number. I never called him back.
So what? I mean, people move on, you know? Get over it, you know? It's just, it's still your fucking... rug, right? So you need to get it.
I was mounted and stuffed by that taxidermist.
You were?
You don't even know. His penis was so large, mm-hmm. I didn't think I could ever walk again.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it should be obscenely illegal.
Really?
Yes.
Did you like it?
No.
No?
It was like...
Really?
I don't even know what it was like. It was like a third leg. Like, just, oh my God. It was so big. Actually, this was kind of, this was so gross. It was so big. Uh-huh. My vagina, like, swelled afterwards. I actually called my sister.
It stretched out.
No, it didn't even stretch out because vaginas are pretty elastic. They bounce back.
Yeah, they do.
But, like, my outer lip just swelled from, like, you know, the contact.
The friction.
Yeah. And, oh my, it's getting hot in here. I'm going to take my sweater off.
It's okay. Oh, you got something underneath. Okay,
yes.
Good.
Shut up.
I want to take another break.
Why?
Why?
You're taking so many breaks today.
Well, but short ones.
All right.
Well, because I don't know.
But so anyway.
I feel like one. Go ahead.
All right. Well, no. So my boss, Andrea, wants me to drive to Reno with her, and we're going to throw the two kids in the back of her car, mm-hmm. get some chains on her Beamer, and drive to Reno, go to Safari Club, hang out with her parents, and then come back.
Oh, sounds like fun.
And we're going to leave her kids with the mom, and then we're just going to go off and gallivant around Safari Club and look at fur coats and try and be fabulous.
Yeah. So you guys flying there, though?
No, you're going to drive.
You're going to drive?
We're going to drive.
Over the weekend? How are you going to make it in 2 days back and forth?
Leave Friday, come back Sunday.
Yeah, it's a long way. It's a long drive.
Like 8 hours.
Yeah?
I drive fast.
Yeah, but you're driving with these people.
She drives fast.
Yeah?
Yes. She does. She's got a little lead foot with her little Beamer.
But, I mean, you just think about it. You spend, you waste half a day driving there, another half a day coming back. You only have one full day there.
But then again, flying with the kids is going to be such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really difficult.
And it's expensive, too.
Even with the two of us to fly with those kids.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then, really, it'd be crazy.
Then they get, like, crazy on the plane, and they cry, and then you're like, oh, my God. Wow.
Can imagine driving with it, my God. But if you're there, they'll probably behave, huh?
Kids in a car seat are actually really good.
Yeah.
You throw them in a car seat, and as soon as they're strapped in, you know, they look out the window, they find other things to do, and then they babble to themselves, or you stick a DVD in front of them, and they're fine.
Yeah.
You know that. Your daughter, when she was, like, little and crying all the time, you would put her in the car and drive her around.
I would. I would do that, yeah.
For some reason, like, the vibrations of the car are very soothing.
Yeah. I know. I don't know what it is, but kids do like it, though, like babies and stuff. You
absolutely.
Know? Well, it's, I guess it's like rocking them, you know,
yeah,
in the cradle or something.
I love rocking a baby.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's cool, huh?
There's something just soothing about it and, like, natural, like just standing and bouncing baby boy, them drooling on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Sounds like my last boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Let's take another quick break, Susie.
Okay.
I'll be back right after this.
Keeping you in.
You're right, we are taking a lot of breaks today. Huh?
I know.
Well, I'm lazy.
That's all right. I'm feeling better. I'm not so hungover anymore.
Good.
You wake me up, Sam.
You're ready for another 2 hours?
Of a show? Yeah. Hell no. I've got to go straight to Malibu and take care of the kids all day.
Do you?
Yes. Hopefully I can resist the father's bad influence if I get there. Nanny, you want a cocktail?
Yes.
It's 11:30. I'll be like, no. But I just remembered why I was so drunk yesterday, because I started drinking at noon.
Oh.
I went to the grocery
store. What time do you usually start?
Well, it depends on the day, but usually five-ish.
Oh, really?
Cocktail hour.
Oh.
You know.
I thought you started before. I don't know.
Well, it depends on the day.
Yeah.
Depends on what the activities are.
Right. So you already drank at noon yesterday.
Yeah, well, my girlfriend, she's a gourmet chef. She's absolutely gorgeous. I totally have to bring her in here. She'll show you her boobs.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
She's
tomorrow.
Super skinny. She's got a great little ass, gorgeous legs, and then these huge, massive, perky tits.
Really?
She's half Egyptian and half Californian.
Really?
She's just stunning. But she's also a personal chef, so I had her come over yesterday and make me... I was at the store, and I'm on the phone with her, and I'm like, what do I do with fava beans? I'm like, they look kind of interesting. I think I want to buy them.
Yeah.
And so she came over and made me this wonderful Mediterranean dish with like pita bread and the fava beans and tomato and lemon and some garlic all sautéed together.
Mm-hmm.
We went up and sat on my porch... actually, at the third tier of my house, because we've got three porches that go all the way up onto like a nice veranda.
Nice.
Looks out all over the hills. It's really beautiful.
It sounds like
and
it.
And we just sat there and got a little stoned and had some wine and ate our food. It was such a wonderful day.
Fuck working, right?
I was like, I love my life.
Yeah.
And then I get to work and it's like, just one more big party.
I know. I think 3/4 of the people in this town don't work, you know? They just kind of goof off all day.
Well, I was actually thinking about it, and it's like people that have office jobs and desk jobs, like, they get there, and they probably spend their first 2 hours of the day just fucking off on, like, emails and, like, reading funny things and, like, getting, like, inappropriate you know, things that they look at on YouTube.
I know.
And it's like, if people actually worked for all of the day, things might actually get done.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know. The internet has really ruined, you know, the workplace.
Oh, my God. It completely has.
Yeah.
I know a ton of places actually now won't allow Facebook. They've blocked the whole Facebook application at work.
Yeah.
My sister's hospital is one of them. She's like, now what the fuck am I supposed to do all day?
Yeah.
I was like, maybe work? See your patients?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you know what I don't get? I mean, you want to talk about idiots, is people that... What did I want to say? I totally spaced out on it.
I don't know.
I totally fucking spaced out what I wanted to say.
Well, have you seen the movie Office Space?
No.
I keep telling you to see that fucking movie. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But so in Office Space, it's so funny because the company sends in the Bobs, mm-hmm. a team of like two guys to come in and like evaluate. Everyone has a cubicle, but to kind of downsize the company.
Right.
And to figure out who's a valued employee or not. So the main character of the movie comes in to have his interview with the Bobs. The Bobs are like, so, what do you do? He's like, well, you know, I get in a little bit late every day, probably about half an hour later than I'm supposed to. And he's like, and then, you know, I go to the bathroom and I jerk off for about 2 hours. And, you know, then I come back and I pretend that I'm actually doing some work when I'm really playing, like, some computer game. And then, you know, I'll take, like, lunch. I'll take an extra half an hour. Then I'll go back to the bathroom and jerk off again for another 2 hours. I pretty much don't do anything all day. And this is what he tells the Bobs. Yeah. And so the Bobs are like, oh, my God, this guy's brilliant. You know what I mean? We need to make him management. So they promote him, and they start firing all the people that were at the same level that actually were doing work.
Really?
And the poor, like, Indian guy who's the guy's friend, he's like, this is bullshit. I cannot believe that, you know, you get the promotion and I get fired. I do not want to get sacked. But it's so true. Like, if people are honest and they're just like, you know what? Like, I get all the work done that I need to get done, like, within an hour. And they're like, well, let's give him more responsibility because obviously, you know.
Yeah. See, when I was in a position like this, I was hired for a company and to fix up all the books and everything. And I was there for a year. And then I realized I didn't have much to do anymore. You know, I cleaned up everything.
Yeah.
And doing the daily stuff, I could finish in a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I quit. I mean,
you went to the bathroom and jerked off for 2 hours a day.
No, I just couldn't deal with it. I mean, there's no way I can sit on the fucking internet and not do anything. You know, I need to produce something. So
yeah.
So I just went to the boss. I told her, you know, you don't need me here anymore. You know,
well, that was big of you.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it was for me as well. I mean, it was a selfish thing because I didn't want to just sit around and not do anything. I mean, I can't be challenged like this. So fuck the money, you know, I'll find another job, make the money, but do something that's interesting.
I know.
Some people, you know, they're okay with goofing off all day. Just let them do it and they're fine.
I seriously think it's so weird because, like, I'm so diligent. Like, I go, 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 go. You know, I know how to party and relax and have a good time, but, you know, something usually has to get cut out of my schedule, which is typically sleep. But I mean, I do all these different jobs and I really don't make any money doing all these jobs. And it's like, what do I do all day?
Yeah.
It's like I do a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah. I mean, if you start drinking at noon and you sit outside and have fun, yeah.
That's doing something.
You're not going to have money.
No.
Nobody pays you for that.
Well, I'm a little luckier than most.
Yeah, I suppose.
We'll leave it at that.
But I was going to say, now I remember, that people are crazy for writing personal email at work. You know? I mean, there's no way that they're not going
to be caught.
When
else are you supposed to do it?
When?
Yeah.
At home.
Oh.
I mean, why would you use the company's computer where they can read everything that you do?
Ooh.
That's what I mean.
Well, isn't that why they invented Google Chrome with that little anonymous? Yeah.
Yeah, but still, no, it's not going to help. I mean, you can put like key loggers on a computer, and it records each and every keystroke on the computer.
Oh no!
You can pick out passwords like that and everything.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah.
What about privacy?
Well, but that's the thing. When you see, I don't know about the workplace. I think the employer has every right to monitor everything that you do because you're using their equipment. You're being paid by them. You know, they have the right to do it.
That actually reminds me of something funny. So my ex-boyfriend Drew in Canada, we had this amazing acid trip once upon a time. And then, like, when we were coming down, we thought we were completely off of it and we decided to fuck. Mm-hmm. So then we're fucking. And then, like, we both had this, like, out of mind, out of body, like, experience. And it was the most intense connection, like, ever. And we're both like, do you feel that? Oh my God, I feel that. That's so weird. But so then, like, fast forward a year, I send him a text message. I'm sitting in my statistics class. Maybe this is why I failed stats.
Maybe.
Because I'm sitting there daydreaming about my acid trip and my amazing fuck with Drew. And I send him a text from stats, and I'm like, Drew, do you remember when we were coming down from acid? We were having the most amazing, like, you know, sex ever, blah, 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 with your cock ring, like, he had his penis pierced. Like, so, and I just went into, like, amazing detail about this. I get a text back saying, this isn't Drew, this is his former boss, and this is the company phone.
Whoa.
And he's like, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard. He's like, who are you? Do you want to come back to Canada and be my girlfriend? But so it was a company phone, and I guess when Drew left that company, he gave the phone back. And
can you imagine someone getting a text message like that? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a oops. Let me insert foot deeply into throat.
It's a big oops.
Let me just shove it down there. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so that's what I recommend. People be careful at work, you know, because you can be found out immediately.
So stop looking at kiddie porn on your work computers, people.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, I mean, when you get caught, it would be so embarrassing, you know. Why would anybody even do it, you know? So, yeah, don't surf at work. Don't send personal email. I don't think it's a good thing.
Or get a job where you can do all these things. Yeah. Get a different job. Quit. This is Life Coach nothing. Susie. I'm giving a shout out to all of you people out there that are working way too hard.
Yeah.
Aww.
So what about school now? When is that starting again?
I don't know. I think February.
February?
I should probably look into that.
You should.
I should.
Yeah, I mean, fuck.
Well, I'm still seeing if I'm going to get accepted to this school in Australia. Okay. So we'll see.
But what kind of a school is that?
I mean, it's James Cook University. Mm-hmm. It's just a, you know, really big university.
Oh.
They've got branches like all over the place, so.
And what city is it in?
They have a couple, but the one I was looking to go to is in Cairns. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Yes. Don't give me that look.
What look?
That look.
What look?
That look.
What look?
That look.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But no, I mean, it sounds great. It sounds great. Believe me, I'd be so happy for you.
Well, the only thing that I'm thinking of, you know, if I go over there as an international student, you have to finish your degree. You've got to go full time. So here, when I'm living in LA, you know, I'm fucking around, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm only in school, like, part-time. Like, you know, I'm never going to finish my degree. Yeah. I keep creeping and crawling along at this rate.
Right.
So it might be good to go over there and have, like, a really mellow, relaxed lifestyle where I have nothing to do but focus on my education and my sex life.
Isn't it more expensive, though, for foreign students?
No.
No?
No.
Really?
It would be about 10 grand a semester for the tuition and everything.
That's a lot of fucking money,
Susie. No, it's not.
Why? You fucking go to CSUN here or something. I mean, what the fuck? You know, it barely costs you anything. A couple $100 or something. Then the textbooks, a few more hundreds, let's say. And that's it. You know, $1,000, $2,000, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think college should cost that much, you know.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, it does. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So you have to pay, I guess, if you want to go to a good school, you know.
Exactly.
But I know here that the state colleges and the community colleges, if you're out of state, they would charge you a lot more.
I know.
A lot more.
I actually paid out of state last semester at SMC because I was too lazy to actually change over my residency shit. How stupid was that?
Yeah, that's stupid. You see, you're an idiot.
I know.
Yeah.
I just was too lazy to do it, so I didn't do it. I didn't care.
All right. So we dedicate all this show to all the idiots out there today.
Yes, yes. And to our new president.
To the new president. Congratulations. I think everybody's real happy. People supposedly are celebrating all over the country.
I know I'll be celebrating.
Let's go celebrate, drink, and be merry and everything. And we'll see you right here.
Tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.